Well, it's good to see people that were in school the same time we were, serving the Lord, amen. And it just makes my mind go back and realize what He done in my life back when I got out of high school. And know that He was doing it in other people's lives too. And that God will even work in Brother Tony Cochran's life, amen. Whenever we were, he pastored there in Robbinsville. We're pastoring there. That church has supported us for a lot of years. This church has supported us. I guess the church there in Robbinsville, my mind just went blank, just can be Rollins Creek. Rollins Creek started supporting us when we were on deputation. That would have been 8 years ago, 9 years ago. We went to language school. Y'all have been supporting us for several years, but it's good to come back and let you remember us and see our face. So you can pray for us, amen. And so we can encourage you about what the Lord's been doing there in Bolivia. And it's good. It's so great to come back to churches and feel God's Spirit and people here growing. And you've got families and having children. And the church is growing and doing great. And that just encourages us as missionaries. And we have seen a multitude of folks saved. In the last 9 months, we've probably seen more people saved than a lot of people would see in a lifetime. But on a daily basis, weekly, we would see many saved. And the Lord allowed us in the last 9 months to preach several revival meetings there in Bolivia. We preach seminars. We have marriage seminars. We work with the youth. And you'll see a lot of this on this PowerPoint. Let me do that right quick. Can you hand me some of those? If you want one of our prayer cards, there's some. I'll lay some here on the table. Give a pastor one of them. But you can pick one of those up and stick it in your Bible and pray for us. Or on your refrigerator. A lot of people have a board, pin-up board or whatever. But you can pray for us. But for those of you that don't know us, who does not have a clue who I am? Raise your hand. Amen. All right. We got a few like that. And that's okay. Amen. That's all right. But we are the Fanning family. We've been missionaries in Bolivia now. This is our 7th year. We spent 18 months on deputation, and we spent a year in language school, and we'll show you some pictures of that. And we've been working in Bolivia now for the past 7 years. And God has been so good. He's helped us. We speak Spanish fluently, all of my family. Toda mi familia, nosotros hablamos español perfectamente. Well, entendible. Yo creo que la mayoría nos puede entender. Do you understand what I say? That just means that we all speak Spanish, and we speak Hispanic perfectly. And I said, well, I guess pretty much everybody can understand this. She picked up a lot of it. But we also speak a little of the Indian language, which is the Aymara Indians, or American Indians. They're just South American Indians, amen. But they speak Aymara, just like the Cherokee speak Cherokee. They have their own language, have their own Bible, amen, that's in their language. South American Bible Society translated them a Bible. They've had it for about 6 years now, I think. But we use the Spanish Bible in most of Bolivia because the national language is Spanish. And so we had to go to language school and learn Spanish to be able to learn Aymara. But being an American, there's a little bit of an anti-American spirit down there because of the coca production in Bolivia. Bolivia produces about 70% of the coca leaf in the world. And the coca leaf is medicinal. They use it to stay awake for hunger pains, for all kinds of stuff, altitude sickness, medicinally. But when it's processed into powder, we know what it is. And what is it? It's cocaine. And so the U.S. and Europe has funded an extensive drug eradication program in Bolivia, which has caused an anti-American sentiment there in Bolivia for a long time. Even though the United States sends over $100 million a year to Bolivia in aid, they have still continued with that anti-American spirit following Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro. And just recently, just in the last 3 weeks, they kicked the ambassador out of Bolivia and brought the ambassador from the United States back to Bolivia. So the relationship is headed headlong for what Cuba is today. And we know that Cuba has no relationship with the United States. You can't even take an airplane from the U.S. and fly it to Cuba. And Bolivia is heading in that direction. I don't believe it's that drastic, nowhere near that at this point, but it's headed in that direction. And you just pray for us as we continue to work one way or the other. The Lord will allow us to continue to work because we have seen many saved and we've seen many desire to serve God. We got one young couple that you'll see on this PowerPoint that when they went to church with us in our church in Santa Cruz, which is in the low jungle area, they were newly married, newlyweds, and they fought and just were about to split up and started coming to church. Darlene and I started working with them, praying with them, counseling with them, just trying to help them to go on, stay together. And it got real rough for a while, but they stuck it out. Amen. And then a while later, the little girl got cancer, and we helped our little girl through all of her chemotherapy treatments. And she had a hole in the skull, and three of her vertebrae in her back were completely gone. And we tried to help with those things and those expenses. And God blessed in that. She came through it, and her skull was already closed again. And that happened when she was 3 years old, sweetheart, right? And her back is fused back together. And she did have to wear a corset, but the doctors are allowing her to go without a corset now. And she's walking up straight. She was doubled over where her back had done that. And God just touched her, did a miracle. I'm telling you, God touched her. That's all you can say. Amen. And she, through that process, God got a hold of their heart. And I just seen God bring them to the bottom. And sometimes when you're on the bottom, the only place you can look is up. Amen. And they surrendered their life and have decided to serve the Lord. And so they're preparing their life to serve God full time. And it's Benjamin and Carmela. You'll see them on the hood of our truck. And I can tell you so many stories tonight. We could take all night. But I want to take just a couple minutes right here and just finish giving you this update. Show this PowerPoint. It takes 8 minutes. And then do you want me to preach to you? Is that? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to try to follow the Lord, pray. And if it's all right when we get done with this, then I'll preach. I'll try to hold it to about 20 minutes or something like that. Amen. And so, I was saying no lying church in here. Amen. But because of these other things, I'll try to be very conscious of the time. But have seen God has blessed. In Philippians 4, Paul makes a statement to the church. And what he says is, your care of me hath flourished again. And what he is saying is that God had prospered his work and he had seen many saved. Amen. And we have seen multitudes saved. But God, through the... How many of you have been serving the Lord any length of time? Raise your hand. You know that there's ups and downs, and you go through valleys and mountains and high plains, amen? Or it just seems like it just goes the same for a long, long time, and then this boom all of a sudden. I mean, the Christian journey is not heaven, amen? We're here for a purpose, and God has something for us to do while we're here. And as a matter of fact, I believe it's in the valleys and the faith times that God molds us to make us who we should be and allows us to walk with Him. And that's what I have enjoyed so much about serving God, that He's faithful and He never leaves you and He never lets you down. Amen. But we, through all those times, have seen God save folks and seen God bless. And we're going to show you this PowerPoint, and it'll do more than I can do in 3 hours talking. And so, it's good to be with y'all. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for praying for us on a continual basis. And I don't know if y'all remember, but I was just a horseshoer here in Western North Carolina. I'm a brick and block mason by trade. And God changed my life, changed my direction. And we continued to shoe horses while... We were on while I was in Bible college, and we supported missionaries. And then one day, God just said, "All right, it's time. I want you to go to Bolivia." I came home, told Darlene, and she said, "What? Where is Bolivia?" And I said, "I don't know." That was in '96. We went to Bolivia twice, and this is where this is going to pick up. God changed my life in 1993. I thought that I would find happiness in money. and in doing what my life dream was, and that was to train horses. I went to North Carolina State trying to, hoping that taking agribusiness and equine science that would fill that void in my life. But I was like a square peg in a round hole. And if you're a child of God and you're saved, the only place in the world that you can be happy is the will of God. And if you know the will of God for your life, that's half the battle. Amen? A great man of God told me one time the greatest experience of a Christian's life, a young preacher or a pastor or whoever it might be, is to know the will of God for your life and get in it. And here's where we go. In 1996, we're going to pick this up. And we were working, trying to get to where God wanted us to be. But God has called us to Bolivia, South America. All right, Jake, have you... This says, with the Fannings missionaries to Bolivia, our preparation began in 1996 when the Lord called us to Bolivia. We took two survey trips while I was in Bible college in 1997. That was in January and September. Darlene went with me in September. She said, honey, if you feel like God's called me to that place, she said, pray that the Lord allowed me to go down and see where I got to raise my family. Amen. So there was no supermarkets or Walmart or McDonald's or anything when we went, but now they do have supermarkets. Amen. Our preparation, a part of it was when we moved to the border for a year and studied language there on the border of Mexico. And in 2002, we moved to Bolivia and worked in Santa Cruz for almost 18 months. This is Benjamin and Carmel I was talking to you about. And there's little Levi when he was 8 months old, and Jacob was 6 years old when we moved to Bolivia. We studied language for a year, and they picked up Spanish in about 2 weeks. There's the church, the first church we worked with, and on Sunday morning when we stopped working with them after 2 years, they were running 60 to 90 on Sunday mornings. And we moved to La Paz in 2003, and since then, for the past 5 years, have been working. We help other missionaries run revival meetings, try to help them when they come in on furlough, preach meetings, evangelistic meetings, teaching seminars. Darlene teaches ladies' meetings, has all kinds of discipleship type teaching. She also homeschools the children, which is, you know, about a very hard task I couldn't probably do. Our Jerusalem is La Paz. Our Bolivia is our Judea. South America is our Samaria, and the world's our uttermost part. We're trying to reach the world from Bolivia, South America. We're missionaries there trying to plant churches in Bolivia, South America, that can do the same thing that you're doing, and that is to send missionaries all around the world. Our purpose or our goal in ministry is to live among the people so that we know them, know how they think, the way they do. There's Levi playing with some of the kids. And in this one village, we helped them put water in that village because they were so close to Americans, they just see us buying books. For $15, we bought them pencils and books and just to try to be a blessing to them. Kids that don't have shoes, my sister's church sent them and bought shoes for that whole village right there. Now they have us in their civic meetings, and they just think we're the best thing in the world. And we become friends with these Indian people. But they've met, a lot of them have never heard the gospel, not one time. So that's our goal, is to go in and let them not see us, but to see Christ, so that they can be saved. Live among them, learn the language and the culture, but lead them to Christ. Amen. See people saved. That's our goal. Amen. Our place, inside of that red circle, there's 2 million people inside that red circle. The whole population of Bolivia is only 9 million. But our goal is to plant seven churches inside of that red circle in those seven areas. El Alto, Villa Fátima, Yohepa, Achucaya, Plan Alto Pista, and this is our ministry goal. In the next 10 years, we're already working in two or three of those areas extensively, trying to plant a church. This is the city that we live in, high in the Andes. We live at 12,000 feet high. Those mountain peaks are 21,000 feet, 21,000 feet. But we go there preaching the gospel, amen? And we preach in Spanish just like you preach in English here. And I never forget the first time God let me get hooked up in Spanish, amen? Well, right here's me preaching in Spanish, and we're translating in Ayamada. And so we not only preach and work in Spanish, but Ayamada in the city and in the country. And our goal is to see them baptized so that they can grow in the Lord. We believe that's the first step of faith after you're saved, is get baptized. And so this was our first group of kids that got baptized, second group of people Jacob got baptized down there, amen, in that same water as him, Bolivians, amen. And so we work extensively to produce disciples. That's Brother Poncho. He's working with the church now. They're having service right now, the same time we are, praying, preaching, amen, singing. We also have a youth ministry, an extensive youth ministry. We have youth camps each year, and we saw 18 young people saved at this one youth camp. Got saved. It's amazing how open they are to the gospel. But you go to a place where they've never heard the gospel, amen, and they're hungry for the truth. This is our Bible ministry. All these Bibles that you see lifted up in the air were given by people that give to our Bible ministry. If you designate money for that ministry, it will go to that. We also have a children's ministry. And in the children's ministry, darling, teaches Sunday school just like you do. We have two or three, four Sunday school teachers. And we not only teach Sunday school, but we have kids club once a month where we play with the kids. We have park evangelism, and we just take the kids out to the park and preach. We have vacation Bible school just like you do. And God allows us through the children a lot of times to reach the families. And we've had several families in our church come to the church through kids that had got saved in the church and invited mom and dad. And we started praying with them, telling them, pray for mom and dad, invite them. And God saved Geechee and Emilio this past year. And they're faithful, on fire, just loving God and wanting to serve the Lord. But these are Ayamata Indian people that need Jesus, that Jesus died for. This man right here asked me, he said, brother, he said, when are you going to come to our village and bring a church and plant a church here? See, they're open to the gospel. To them, they don't know the difference in Catholic, Baptist. They have no clue. They just know they're forgotten. They feel left out. But our message is to go and tell them that Jesus saves and He died. And when they get saved, just like I got saved, God puts joy down in their heart. Little guys like Walter, amen, that need the Lord, and these other kids. Sister Elsa there in the back, she got saved. And this little girl, her family, a very poor family, they come to our church. And all over Bolivia, you run into people like this little Indian lady and this man that you give them a tract and they won't reject it. You can give out thousands of tracts and nobody reject it. Give out Bibles, man, they're just hungry. People that get saved and are happy. Amen? See? Just like us. Amen? Trials and difficulties, yeah. But when they get saved, they get eternal life. And these two of those young men are studying with us. This is Sister Victoria. And standing there with Darlene. Darlene at a ladies' meeting that she had for Mother's Day, I believe. But she cooked breakfast, American breakfast for all them ladies. Eggs, bacon, what all that stuff, gravy, biscuits. And they asked, what is this stuff, that gravy? They never seen gravy before. But Sister Juana and her children, they just trying to grow up in society just like you. Could you imagine doing it without Jesus, without a church? So that's our goal, is to go to Bolivia and plant churches and preach the gospel, see people saved. And you have a part in that. If you want to come and help us, amen, come to Bolivia. If God touches your heart, you can come to Bolivia, amen. For $100, you can get a passport to Bolivia. I'm going to turn the volume off on that thing. You can get a passport for $100 and come to Bolivia and preach, and I'll translate for you, amen. Jacob will translate for you. Any of my kids could. I'm going to sing. I don't know if any of them wants to, but I'm going to sing a couple of little songs for you. You can hit that light if you want to, bro. I'm going to sing a couple of little songs, just the chorus of it, and see if you know what it is. We sing these songs in our church, and see if you can know the tune in English. Ready? Lluvias de gracia, lluvias pedimos, Señor. Mándanos lluvias copiosas, lluvias del Consolador. You know it? You don't know that tune in English? Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling. Some of you know it, amen? What about this one? Yo tengo la victoria, pues Cristo me salva. Busco me, compro me, con su divino amor. ¿Ya no? Amen, amen, amen. A lot of songs that y'all sing in your church, we sing them down there too. Amen. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. My kids will know those words in English, in Spanish, and won't know them in English a lot of times. But it makes my mind go back and think about Brother Poncho in Bolivia there, and he's working with us there in the church. Every time he gets up to testify or to teach, or he don't say he's called to preach, but he preaches pretty good, amen. And he'll just cry and he'll just give his testimony and say, thank God for sending a missionary. Amen. And I'm saved today because somebody came. And other people like Julio, that just every time I see him, just weeps and cries. And said, Brother Steve, if I'd have heard the gospel when I was young, I would have got saved when I was young. Amen. And so we thank God for the opportunity to work in Bolivia. And it's not easy on my family, on my wife and the kids. It's not easy. Not complaining. But it's not easy. The grace is sufficient, amen. The cross is heavy, but I'm so glad He kept bearing His cross, amen. And He kept on going. And the Bible says that God will, He said that He will give you not only the desire, not only the will, but the do. He said both the will and to do of His good pleasure. And so that is the will, that's the desire. I want to do that, Lord. Remember David? David didn't get to do it, but he said, I'm going to bless you anyway, just like you did it. But then the will and to do. So not only the desire, but God actually performs His life and works His life through your life. And you are the hands and the mouth and the feet that He has here on earth. Amen. And if you let Him have them, then there's no... Remember when He went away? The Lord said, if I go away, greater things will you do. And one day it dawned on me what that meant. And it means when He was here on earth, He could only be in one place at one time. He needed to be praying. But His disciples needed to get across the sea. And so He said, I'm going to pray. Y'all go on over across the other side, and I'll catch up with you. And He kept walking across the water. Amen. And told him, peace be still. You know the story in the Bible, but he could only be in one place at a time. But when he went away, he said, if I go away, I'll send another comforter. Otro consolador in Spanish. And see, when the Holy Spirit come and dwelled in our heart, when I got saved, he came in my heart. And everywhere I go, he goes. So if I just let him, then he does his work through me. Amen. And through you. What he wants to do. You say, I can't do anything. Couldn't God do anything? Yeah. If he's in you, he can do anything he wants to. Amen. Amen. And I believe he'll work inside the dictates of the Scripture. Amen. Amen. We're not charismatic. Amen. But I believe in worshiping the Lord and just minding God. Amen. And I want to tell you, thank you for supporting us and praying for us. And I'm going to pray right quick. If I can pray and try to follow the Lord, you want to go ahead and sit down? You can. Father, I just thank you, Lord, today for being so good to me. And thank you for this time that you've allowed us to come over here at East Larker Baptist Church. Lord, I thank you for them, for their faithfulness, Lord, they're giving towards your work. Lord, I know that you, Lord, they're laying up treasures and they're conscious of that. But I hope some of the faces, Lord, just let them know that their investment's an eternal investment. That these folks that get saved, Lord, that they'll be there in heaven with you forever. And Lord, thank you for just allowing us to be co-laborers together. I'm so glad that somebody came to me and shared the gospel with me because of a burden you placed in their heart. God, I thank you for that. And I bless you, dear God, for being so good to us. Lord, you're better to us than we deserve. But oh, God, most of all, Lord, we just want to do something, God, that will, God, one day, Lord, we'll be able to lay something back down at your feet, Lord, to thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, in spite of how we, Lord, walked away from you, and God, Lord, in those young years of our life, God, you didn't care, Lord, if some man was wicked or what he had done, Lord, you said, whosoever will, let him come. Lord, you died for the vilest sinners, and I thank you for that. And I bless you, God, for saving souls and for working tonight. I pray and ask you, Lord, to just help us, Lord, to be obedient to you and to trust you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be all right if I preach tonight, brother? Amen. 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 I love horses, but I love preaching. And I thought that my life's ambition and light and everything would be, you know, horses, and that'd be my everything. But the Lord called me to preach, and when He called me to preach, I guess besides getting right with the Lord, the greatest thing the Lord ever done for me was gave me that little lady sitting back there. And she's my best friend, and she's the better part of me. Amen. You know, they say that a man is the head, but the woman is the neck that turns the head. Amen. She's a helpmeet, and that helps him in any way and always to not make stupid, you know, decisions. To help meet the task involved in our life. And sometimes it's hard to submit, amen, when you got a husband that feels like God's called him to Bolivia, South America. But she was willing to go. But she told me, she said, honey, I was just waiting for God to write it in the sky. You know, darling, it's my will for you to go to Bolivia. And put it on a billboard. And it just didn't happen that way. But one day she was just going down the road, just struggling with that. And with that burden about God's call on our life. And I prayed and just waited because I wasn't about to go to Bolivia if she wasn't sure about it. Amen. Because I believe if God can speak to me, He can speak to my wife. Amen. And if God can put it in my heart, He can put it in hers. He's a big God. Amen. And one day she came home and she said, honey, it'll be all right. That song, Give Him the Glory, came on the radio. And she said, Lord, just let me know that it will be all right. And I'm glad that God works in our life. Amen. We don't always understand things, but the best that we can understand with this little brain, amen, I'm glad that He just lets us get on us in on a small part of it. Amen. Well, I thought about preaching a couple of things tonight. I like to come to service, and I love to share the Word of God. And I believe that that's the meat of the service, is the Word of God. And I thought about preaching tonight on four crosses, or four nails between you and hell. That's what I thought about preaching on. There in the Bible, there's a nail that was in that inscription above the cross, not just the two in Jesus' hand. I seen y'all had some nails laying up there, and I thought, well, Lord, would you want me to preach on that tonight? Because I don't have to preach at all. Amen. If he'd just show up, man, we'd just get under the carpet. Amen. But I saw those nails, and I thought, you know, about preaching on that. Because if someone's lost, they just need to realize, amen, it wasn't just in his two hands and in those two feet, but there's four nails in that cross. Amen. The Bible said, and they took that nail and they nailed that inscription above his head. It said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, and His name, amen. And there's no other name under heaven given among men. On our pickup truck in Bolivia, we got that verse of Scripture in Acts 4:10. No hay otro nombre bajo el cielo dado a los hombres en que podemos ser salvos. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, amen. You can't get saved any other way. You can call me a fundamental or whatever you want to call me for that, but there have been many people down through the ages have died and gave their life up for that reason, amen, for the fact that they wouldn't deny the fact that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world, amen. Yeah, but I don't feel like the Lord wants me to preach that. I thought about preaching in Genesis 4, where it's there where it said, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. In Genesis 4 there. Boy, I preached that message down in one of the Indian churches, and I was preaching with a translator, and I preached in Spanish, and my friend was translating in Ayamada, and I got so full and so excited, I told him, okay, brother, you know, I presented the gospel, and I've got to preach, man. I had to cut loose and preach, and And so I began to share with how God moved in my town, you know, generations back. And when my great-great-grandparents, great-great-great-grandparents came into these mountains, and God sent revival in these mountains and saw people saved. And I'm glad that the Galloways and McCalls and Fannins, amen, knew Jesus and had the opportunity to be saved. And God changed our heritage that way. But I feel like the Lord said to me, "Son, I want you to just preach what's in your heart." And so Psalms 37 is what's in our hearts. And Darlene's cousin is our county commissioner over in Brevard, and he taught Sunday school on this. And I don't have my outline or notes or anything, but I prayed. You know, when he began to read this, it really spoke to me, and I saw three things here in this text, Psalms 37. If you'll stand with us, we'll read this and try to be as brief as we can. But in Psalms 37, in verse number 1, we'll read down through a few verses, down through verse number 8, and try to be obedient to the Lord and let the Lord speak to our heart. And I hope that when we're done that you'll maybe ask us some questions about Bolivia. We'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have, the kids, Darlene, or myself, and we'd be glad to just spend some time talking to you about Bolivia. If you got any questions, if you want to come to Bolivia, amen, we'd be glad for you to come to Bolivia and visit us. We'll put you up, take care of you, and try to keep you from getting sick, amen. We'll let you drink no water. We got bottled water down there, amen. And try to give you something to eat that's baked, boiled, or peeled, amen. Those three things will keep you from getting sick in a third world country. It's got to be baked, boiled, or peeled. Amen? And it'll keep you from getting sick. That's why lettuce will get you sick. Now, I'm telling you. Amen. And so, another side note. Amen. Psalms 37, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." And I see several things in this text tonight. You can be seated. We've already prayed. Just ask God that you'd add the blessing to your word tonight. And we see several times the Lord mentions, gives this phrase, "Fret not thyself." And He comes back again and says, "Cease from anger. Fret not thyself," again in verse number 8. And so I believe He's telling us to not worry. Amen. And I will go, and my wife hates when I preach on stuff like this because she thinks I'm preaching to her. But it's just good Bible. Amen. And I do it as much as she does, probably just in different ways. Amen. When you go to be a missionary, when you start learning language, you learn words about things that you're interested in. And the woman will learn words about things that she's interested in, and the man will learn words about things he's interested in. And she'll know what the word for pots and pans, you know, one of her interests was is, where am I going to shop, and where am I going to buy food, and what's the name, how do you say pig, and how do you say chicken, boneless chicken that's already cut up. I don't have to see its guts. Amen. Because you buy a chicken down there, see, and they cut its head off and stick all the stuff. They clean it and stick it all back in there because they don't throw anything away in Bolivia. So you buy it that way. And a lot of you say, "Oh my, you eat the same thing." It's called potted meat and vein of sausages, amen. It's just ground up, amen. And we used to eat what's called a souse meat, amen, pig brains scrambled, you know, and all that. I mean, you know where I'm going, what I'm talking about. Amen, bulk sausage and all that stuff. And it's just, the same thing, but just a little cruder form there. Amen. But we've done got sophisticated as Americans. Amen. We're potted meat people. Amen. See, I don't eat potted meat. I do. I had a potted meat sandwich today. But anyways, you're learning and you're trying to work, and becomes a lot of things that you fret about or you worry about. But the Bible says to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication let your requests be made known unto God. That's not just talking about worrying. That word careful for nothing, boy, and this preaching gets on my toes. It's a whole lot further than my wife. This gets on me in a serious way. Be careful for nothing. That don't mean to not worry about things. To be careful means to spend time being careful about it. That means to take precaution. And God said, don't spend a lot of time being cautious about everything in your life. Pray. Let God lead you in the things that you do in your life. I don't think you have to pray about eating at McDonald's or Hardee's or Burger King. Amen. I don't think that you have to pray about every little thing in your life. Amen. About every detail. I do believe that God leads us and guides us a lot of times when we have no clue that He's working or that He's even doing things in our life. Amen. I believe God does that in our life sovereignly. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. But I do believe that God, amen, will lead us. And the Bible says to be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication. And so I believe God's telling us, just pray about it, amen. Be in communion with the Lord. Talk to God about it. And as we began to study this, I was talking to Jacob today about it. And in verse number 3, here we see first, I want to notice three words here in Psalms 37. Verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5. And the first word is the word trust. Second word is the word delight. And the third word is the word commit. As I began to study this, I began to think and meditate on it. I've read it many times. You have too. But when her cousin started teaching on this, boy, God, this began to deal with my heart. And his Sunday school lesson was probably the best sermon I ever heard preached. Amen. And it was wells without water. Amen. And we can do a lot of things in the name of God, but if God's not involved in what we're doing, we're what Paul said, beating the air, amen? We're not laboring just as one that beateth the air. The other day, Levi said, Daddy, what's that kind of fighting called when you punch your shadow? And I said, Son, that's called shadow boxing. He said, I like that, amen. And he's kicking and punching. And Paul said, we're not working or laboring as one that beateth the air. What he's saying is that what we're doing has consequences. What we're involved in as Christians is serious. I remember David made a cry whenever Goliath was standing there and God's people were afraid to go out. There was no one to stand against the giant. Amen. And David made a cry, is there not a cause? And I think a lot of times in our life, we need to have allow God to well up inside of us, amen, and let our heart feel that cry, amen. Is there not a cause? Is our family not dying and going to hell without God? Is our neighbors lost? Is our community, amen, need to be turned? Turn us, O Lord, turn me, O God, and I will be turned. God needs to turn us, amen. Our nation needs to be turned. I'm praying about and thinking in these days a lot about a message in the Scripture that deals with abomination. And abominations in the Word of God. And when God saw abominations, what He did. An abomination is something that brings the direct judgment of God. And when you look in America today, there are a lot of things that are abominable in the sight of God. Amen. Amen. Abominations. I'm talking about things that are appalling to God. And the sad thing is that we as Christians are affected by those things. And don't get downhearted, friend. I'm not encouraging you to be involved in sin. I'm not encouraging you to participate in sin. But don't be discouraged, amen. When you're discouraged by the things that are going on around you in your life, amen.
And the Bible said that Peter, amen, and that he was, that Peter was vexed, that his righteous soul was vexed by the things that he saw and the things that he heard. Years ago, I heard a man of God. Now, like I told you, my great-granddaddy was in the revival when Percy Ray preached. Amen. So we have a pretty strong heritage, amen, in these mountains, amen. And we know a little bit about serving the Lord and about God. And we have some biblical heritage, amen. 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 We've got tradition, amen. We've got our mountain tradition. We're mountain people, amen. Listen to me. Most of our support comes within about 2 hours of these mountains. We didn't crisscross the United States raising support. God raised our support up real fast, amen, and just in small churches here in these mountains. Hey, but I'm glad that the folks in these mountains got a burden, amen, how to do something about missions and how to do something in these last days. When things are so wicked and it seems like things are falling all to pieces, they said, thank God, God's still God. Amen. He's still moving and He's still blessing and He's still, thank God, amen, meet with us on Sunday morning. And I want to say, thank God, He'll meet with us in Bolivia sometimes, and it's just like being at home. And one day I come in the first time in 2003, amen, we come back here, and I said, God, this don't feel like I'm at home anymore. But Lord, this don't feel like home. And I said, Lord, down there in Bolivia, we just don't feel like it's home down there. And we're out of place. We're white. I mean, I've got Cherokee blood in me. And you can tell it by looking at me. But my wife, she's real white. She sticks out like a sore thumb. She's blonde-headed, blue-eyed, and I was hoping my kids would turn out dark-headed and blue-eyed, because she's blonde-headed and blue-eyed, and I'm dark-haired. Oh, they'd be dark-headed and blue-eyed, but all three of them come out with blue eyes. Amen. Amen. They're changing a little bit. Amen. Brianna told us one time, she said, Daddy, what's my eyes called? Weasel? That's Hazel. Amen. Yeah, they're changing a little bit. But stick out. We don't feel like we're at home. Amen? Yep. And one day driving down the road, the Holy Ghost said, Son, that's because you're not home yet. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's golden shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. My desire should do the will of Him that sent me. Amen. God called me to preach. I didn't decide it. I didn't choose it. He called me. Amen. And this call on our life is God's call. Paul said, a dispensation of the gospel was committed unto me. Bolivia has been committed to me. Amen. And I believe with all my heart that God has a will for our lives individually. Not just as preachers, but He loves your next door neighbor, and He loves the kids you work with, and your friends at the business, at the job. Amen. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Those wicked things that come on in our life, and it seem to damper our spirit and damper our heart. Amen. And it takes away from us. Can I let you in on something? Most of the wickedness that goes on in life is caused or happens because of cities. Amen. I'm a country boy. We had never lived in a big city before. Me and Darlene moved down there on the border of Mexico in a city of millions of people. And I was like, whoa, too many people here. One day we got out of language school and I told her, I was discouraged. And I got in the car and we got the kids in the car. And we come and went to church that Sunday. I was discouraged. I was homesick, amen. And I told Darlene, I said, it was flat, man, flat. And I said, we're driving till I see something come up out of the ground if I have to drive all the way back to North Carolina. And we started driving, amen. And we drove for an hour and a half, and I saw a little hill come up out of the ground, and my heart was okay. I said, the whole world's not flat. Amen. I'm like Christopher Columbus. Amen. And then God, hey, He called us down there to Bolivia and put us in the mountains down there in Bolivia, South America. Amen. And every morning when we wake up, we see that big old mountain that you saw, that big snow-capped mountain. We see that every day. Amen. We see the mountains and around there, but we live in a big city. And it's not like me to live in the city. I'd rather live way back, away from everything and everybody. But you know where people are? Is in the city. And God don't care. God cares about the people, amen. And we work in the country. Brother Cochran helped us buy a motorcycle down there in Bolivia. And me and Jacob would go back and on his little motorcycle. We found him a little 79 Kawasaki that somebody had imported over there. And we bought that thing. He arrived. And we'd go out and just have a good time riding or sometimes pass out tracks. And we was back in one of those villages and asked them, why y'all not in school? Because they got a little one-room schoolhouse type. And they said, well, we just don't have any pencils or paper. I come back that night and I was telling Darlene, she said, well, let's go buy them some pencils and paper. This is the love, this compassion, amen. This love, amen. They went and bought those pencils, took them to them. Man, you'd have thought, well, you bought them 14 diesel trucks, amen. They was tickled to death. And in Bolivia, you can just give things out, and men, they're so excited because they don't have anything. And people that are poor that don't have anything, you know, a lot of times they realize that this world does not have it all. That there has to be something beyond this life. Hey, when you're on the bottom and you don't have anything, I want to say thank God. It just makes it a little bit easier. Amen. To realize that this world cannot possess all that there is. Amen. Fret not thyself. Peter there, it says that Peter, his righteous soul was vexed in seeing and hearing. And so the things that Peter saw and he heard, it vexed his soul. And that's what happens to Christians a lot of times. We get vexed by the things that we see and we hear. But we need to not be moved away, amen, from Him, amen. Away from Him who's all together lovely, amen. He that died for us and was buried and rose again the third day. I tell you, brother, when I was in college down at NC State, me and Ty run around with a boy named Tim, another guy named Tim, and he was from Waynesville. And he was one of those Waynesville boys that wore that welder's cap all the time. Amen. We knew people from Waynesville, those young teenagers from Bavard, because the ones from Waynesville wore that welder's cap, you know. Amen. We was in college together down there and wild and just got away from God. And I came back and got right with the Lord, met my wife, and we got married, and God called me to preach, then called me to Bolivia in 96, and we struggled that call, surrendered, and was on deputation, and went to a church over in Cherokee, and we came in there and sat down, and this singing group came and stood up, and it's just like when I run into you, brother, I was sitting there in the congregation, and I saw Tim up there playing the guitar in that gospel group. And I sat there and I looked at him and I said, I'm sure that's Tim. I'm positive that that's Tim. But the church was packed. Amen. It was packed. Amen. Oh, I'm getting somewhere. Amen. They sang a few songs and I couldn't take it anymore. I stood up in the back of the church and I said, Tim, is that you? He said, Steve Fannin, is that you? I said, yeah. Ain't it good to be saved and serve God? He said, yes, thank God. Amen. And they went on singing, amen. Tell you, it's great. Hey, to hear this man that I used to wrestle with, hey, sit back there and say, yes, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Fret not thyself. A lot of people fret and it causes them to kick out of church. Causes them to kick out of the traces and get out of the will of God. I'm going to tell you, if you've been in the ministry any length of time, I tell you, there's some things that will wear on you. When you're in the ministry, your life is like a glass house. and everybody's examining everything that you do and everything you think and everything you say. And I want to say, thank God, there's victory, amen. Every once in a while down the road, that God will meet with me and meet with my family, and He'll do what I need Him to do. He's never forsaken me and never left me. Fret not thyself. Tell you the best medicine for you if you're getting cold and indifferent on God is that right there. Amen. 16 doses, amen. 11 spoonfuls, hallelujah, the Word of God. Amen. Hey, you get that Word of God and say, hey, I ain't never preached this. I've heard a lot of people preach it. But if it weren't for Mama and Papa, amen. And it worked, amen. In these mountains so low, I would say, thank God, it'll still work, amen. Amen. That's right. It'll work. It'll help you in a time of trouble. David said, my feet were well out of sleep when I seen the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I just about lost it. I just about kicked completely out. Well out of sleep. Don't you know the devil? Today I was trying to throw a banana peel out of my truck and throw it in the back of my truck. And the wind caught it and throwed it on the highway. And I was afraid somebody's going to call the police for me littering, amen. But I got to thinking, well, it's biodegradable, amen. You know, I don't think it'd cause a wreck, you know. Somebody might slip on it standing up. But I don't think a car would wreck over a banana peel. Amen. You know, you slip, and the devil would just love to throw a banana peel out there. If you just slip on, kick out, and how many people over 15 minutes or over 5 minutes or over a difficult time in their life, the devil got them completely out, and they're out of church today, and they're out of the house of God, and they're miserable at home, and they're not happy, and they don't know what to do to get it fixed and get it right, because the devil done more damage in 5 minutes, amen. I'm going to tell you, He's after every single one of you and I. God has a remedy. He has a protection. And thank God, amen. Amen. Thank God for the things that He puts down deep in our soul. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. I'm glad it's real. I'm glad that God's real. Yes, I am. Amen. And it says in Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers. David said, my feet were well nigh to slip when I considered the prosperity of the wicked. And then he said, I did not understand the whole thing till I came to the house of God. And when I came to the house of God and considered their end, I realized, David saying, I realized I had the better end of the deal. I heard a guy, I told my mama this today, I heard a guy on the radio say this. He said this guy bought what he thought was a zirconian, you know, one of them fake diamonds. Come to find out it was worth millions of dollars. It was a real rare diamond worth millions of dollars. And he said, you know, that's like a lot of children of God. They just feel like they're doing something to better themselves. And they get saved. You know, they have no idea what they got a hold of when they got saved. I'll tell you, thank God, brother. I'm glad God saved me when I was 10 years old. I'm glad He ain't never left me. And He ain't never forsook me. All that I've ever been through and everywhere I've ever been, God's always been there for me. He's loved me, amen, unconditionally as His Son because of that blood covenant. Amen. Yeah, glory to God. Amen. That blood covenant. Hey, we're bought with a price. David said, I considered therein. He said, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. I know the economy may not be great. I tell you what, thank God oil's going down by the barrel, amen. All-time low today, amen. In 18 months, a barrel of oil costs less today than it has in 18 months. Amen. And it's brought the price of gasoline down. Can you say amen? Drive to Florida on $5 a gallon, amen. Amen. Yes. I'd say hallelujah. Amen. My pastor said, he said, I tell you, what we're looking for. He said for something to happen, something to fix the problems there with God. He said, but I'd hate to say that a lot of people are not willing to pay the price that it'd take, amen, to fix the problem. Amen. We've got it too good. We're too blessed. Amen. And can I say this right now? I feel like I have to say it as a missionary, because I feel like when I'm preaching, people think, well, he's a preacher now, making us feel bad for what we've got. I'm just like y'all, amen. Amen. I thank God when he blesses me, and if he blesses you, I take glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no sin or nothing wrong with God blessing your life. If you pay your tithes, amen, and you give to missions and involved in the work of God, I guarantee you that God will bless your life. You say, oh, you're stepping way on a limb, Mary. You said you wasn't charismatic. I thank you all. You're in that health, wealth gospel, Brother Fannin. No, he said, prove me. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. He said, see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you that you can't contain. And he said, now have other men give into your bosom. Yeah. Yeah, somebody that won't give and they won't be involved, he said, I'll just take it from them and I'll give it to you. Where do you think the silver and the fish's mouth come from? Somebody what? Boy, I should preach on this kind of stuff. Amen. But, I mean, tithing or free will offer, whatever you call it, amen. Amen. Whatever you believe, I don't care. I'm just talking about giving, being involved in God's work, in His church, amen. I don't care how you name it or how you give, but if you're giving, amen, to God, amen, it's an investment. God said, give. That's how I'm going to pay the light bill to church and all that. And there's one fellow saying, I ain't going to pay my light bill. He's out there fishing, and he bends over to bait his hook, and he's silver fell out of his pocket. And that fish gobbled it up. And that fish is swimming. And I say, man, I hate this silver. I can't eat. I'm starving to death. It's blocky. That's the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And God says, look now, yeah, I know it's been hard on you for a while, but this has been a burden I needed you to carry, because the Lord said there's some taxes needs to be paid. Go right down there to the river, and there'll be a fish. I don't know how he got it out, how to get it out. There'll be some silver in the fish. Get that silver out of the fish's mouth and go pay the taxes. I don't know how. Maybe that fish did one of them dolphin things that stood up on his tail. Get this thing out of my mouth. And everybody around him saying, you're the craziest fish I've ever seen. What are you up there doing? I don't know. God told me to. I don't know how they got it out, but somehow he got that silver out of that fish's mouth, and God supplied the need. Hey, man, I believe God will. Hey, man, meet your needs. Hey, man, yeah, fret not thyself because of evildoers. We don't have to keep up with the Joneses. I believe God's economy is a whole lot better. Godliness with contentment is great gain. God, I'm tickled to death with this bread and water. If you want me to eat bread and water, hey, like one old man of God said, if I was starving to death, I'd take some baking soda and drink a bunch of water and swell up and die and tell the devil I died of overeating. Amen. Amen. Because God's going to take care of us. And if He lets us die, you might be a Lazarus. Say, God, and use your life to reach a rich man. And Lazarus had to stay there to the last moment. And God said, Lazarus, you're the only one that can get to His soul. Nobody. He won't let nobody else in. And Lazarus sitting there saying, oh, God, you're so good to me. Lord, I'm suffering going through this. And he said, Lazarus, please just stay there another day. He said, God, I'm hungry. And God said, I know, Lazarus, I know. I've not seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging bread. And this is the cross I need you to carry. Just like that cross I'm fixing to carry to Calvary. And Lazarus said, okay, Lord. Till Lazarus couldn't take it anymore. The Lord couldn't take it anymore. The Lord said, Lazarus, this world's not worthy of you, son. You just come on over here. Amen. Hear about, was in Florida and the young girl got killed. She is serving God, loved God. I mean, she's the best Christian. I mean, as far as her life dedicated to God. And she was driving to work one day and got killed in a car wreck. And she was an example of what a young Christian teenager ought to be. And she got killed in a car wreck. And it bewildered everybody around. Amen. Sometimes it might just be like Enoch. God said that world's just not worthy of them. And Enoch went and God took him. He said, Enoch, won't you just come up here and be with me? Amen. Fret not thyself. One day we're leaving out, friend. The end of this thing is just the beginning. Life is but a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. We're just going to be here just like that, and it'll be all over, and then eternity. Amen. That's right, ain't it, sister? Amen. That's right. I got to thinking about this a minute ago about all that, and you know I'm going to see Mama. When we went to Bolivia, I thought, I'll never get to see Mama again. She's going to probably die. We're going to Bolivia, and I'll never get to see her again before I go to heaven. We was down there, and I come back home. Mama got sick, and she had a pretty lengthy illness, and I got to go sit with Mama and just sit with her hairs and talk to her and listen to her talk to me and let her run her hand through my hair, brother, and run her hand through my hair and just say, well, how's them babies? How's them grandbabies? And talk to her. And then one day she's at the hospital and she just slipped on out of here. And Daddy said, it's just so peaceful whenever she went. And I know one day I want to see my Mama again. And I'm going to see my Papa and I'm going to see those that have gone on before us. Amen. Our hope is out of this world. One day He's coming for us. Pray it not thyself. I've not even preached none of the message. So let me talk you through it. He said, number one, trust in the Lord and do good. If we're not doing good, we're not trusting in the Lord. Boy, God spoke that to my heart. Well, Steve, when you're not doing good, you're not trusting me. Trust in the Lord. Me and Jacob got to talking about that today. Levi, we were talking about that verse, and Levi said, Daddy, I don't want to do anything wrong today. That's what he told me yesterday. He said, I don't want to do anything wrong today. I said, well, son, I'll tell you, that's part of growing up. When you recognize that you don't want to do wrong. And Jacob said, Daddy, there ain't very many people growing up these days, are there? All the other teenagers around running that gamut and doing the things that they want to do. And your kids, amen, you're trying to tell them, hey, there's a better way. And that ain't the right way. That ain't the good way. Amen. I tell you, kids, fret not thyself. I'm telling you, you can serve God as a child, as a teenager. You can live for God. You can have victory in your life. You can walk with Jesus. You can pray. Hey, and it's good. Amen. Fret not thyself. Trust in the Lord. When everybody else says it's a different way, trust in the Lord. Amen. One of my greatest desires as a preacher was that that God would just help me to trust Him and walk with Him and not fret and worry about the situations. I was telling a pastor, and I don't say this, my family will tell you, I don't tell this in churches and things, but in 2003, we just about got killed. There were thousands of them around us, and it was just God that let us get out of there because they could have killed us. But God allowed us to come out of there, and I know it was the hand of God. This is well as God delivered Daniel from the lion's den, and God delivered, amen, these other men in the Old Testament. God took care of us, my wife praying with them babies and them protesting, marching, beating on the door, amen, and wanting to throw rocks at us and different things and shooting at us. And my wife prayed, and she said, God, I believe You're the same God of Daniel and the same God of Moses. And if You took care of them, You can take care of us. Amen. Fret not thyself. I believe real faith comes out. Amen. Hey, when a good litmus test is trust in the Lord. And I was going to say that I believe this. When I first looked at this, that this is progressive. But I don't believe it's progressive. I believe now it's looking at it. I believe it's a recipe for serving God. Trust. I mean, I don't think it's progressive. I was going to say, first we learn to trust, and then we learn to delight ourselves, and then we learn to commit our way to the Lord. But you know, every time I thought about it, it was just all messed up. I didn't know how to trust God. I didn't know nothing about trusting God. It was God that come to me, amen. And He is the one, hey, that caused me to delight in Him. He was the one, yes, amen, yes. Woo, God, what a Savior. Son, I said, you speak, son, you better get in. Yes, friend, amen. He's the one, hey, that made me desire to have a good life and to lay it all down and to give it to Him. I wish I'd have given Him my life when I was 10 or 12 or 13. I wish I'd have gave God my life and said, Lord, here, take my life and just use me and just have me, Lord, to serve You and live for You. I was on fire, man, when I got saved. I took that piece of paper that the man, he wrote those verses down, and I showed it to everybody. Look, I got saved. Let me show you how to get saved. I thought the whole world was going to want what I had. Amen. God, He came to us. He delighted. Hey, He's the one that caused me to delight. In verse 4. Well, in verse 3 there, let me read the rest of it. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I believe that that's just the conditional promises. If we trust and do good, there is some promises. God said, thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You better not blame everything that you go through on God. I believe some things we go through is our fault. You said I was with you, Brother Fannin. Do you say that? Now I'm mad at you. Ask him and believe you. Just raise your hand if you're mad at me, amen, so I know who to look for, amen. Amen. Trust in the Lord. And verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Oh, if He's saying trust Him, and like I said, I believe this is a recipe. I don't think it matters if you throw the eggs in first, or the flour in first, or the salt in first, or the butter in first. I don't care how you throw it in there. Everybody's life's different. Everybody's testimony's different. Amen. How you got saved's different than mine. I mean, everything's individual. It's personal. Hey, but I'm going to tell you what makes the key and what makes the cake. Amen. It's when God just stirs it all together. Amen. My pastor said this one time. He said, did anybody ever eat flour by itself? Has anybody ever took a big old spoonful full of salt by itself? Ain't too good, is it? But when God stirs it all together, amen. Hey, and He is the one that can allow us in those circumstances. When God starts throwing a big old stick of butter, and you look, I watched my mama make a cake many a time. Wedding cakes and everything else, and that flour's there, and then she pours some liquid on it. And that liquid runs over it, and she breaks an egg on it, and that egg runs over there. Man, that is a nasty looking thing. And then she pours that dark vanilla on it, and it gets nastier looking. And then salt and sugar, and you're like, man, that is nasty. My brother, I eat and I just stir it all together, and me and Jacob eat light. But my brother separates everything out and eats one thing at a time. And that's what that mama, she's got all that stuff in there separated, and then she sticks that blender in there and starts stirring it around, and it starts whooping and beating, and in just a few minutes it starts getting some thickness to it, and before long, it turns into a batter. And I'm, since I was a little boy, saying, Mama, don't throw away the batter. It's a mortal sin in my house to throw away the batter bowl. I'll spoon it, and when I get done spooning it, I'll lick it. Until you can see fingerprint lines in it. Amen. Because I like that batter. I like it. Hey, and you look at this. He said, trust in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And so you got that time of trust and delight. And God brings you along in the time of your life. And you say, man, everything's sweet and everything's good. And God said, all right, now it's time. I got to turn the heat up. And He turns that heat up. And takes that deliciously sweet. I remember when I first got right with God, man, I mean, it was bouncing off the walls every service. I'm telling you, I was on a mountain praying. I was getting in the Holy Ghost. God was working in me. Man, I mean, God leaps and bounds with the Lord. God was just doing things in my life. And I was just like, man, this is good. But I looked at everybody around me, and I'm thinking, they just ain't right with God. Son, when you're right with God, it's like this. See? Sweet. Thick, son. Thick and good and delicious. And God grabs a hold of you and says, all right now, I love you. And he turns the heat on. And you say, boy, it's been dry. Man, this is hot. This is hard. What in the world are you doing to me, God? You're killing me. You're killing me. And God said, commit thy way unto the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God starts doing those great things in your life. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. How I got through that process, I feel like I'm through that cake process in my life. At least I'm right there where, you know, I'm cooling off after it comes out of the oven. And I'm in that process. And right now I feel like God told me the other day, son, just hang on. Don't you get up in a hurry. Don't you get excited, son. I've got some big things that I'm fixing to do in your life. You just be still. You just hold on, son. The best is yet to come. And he throws in another egg. He throws in all that stuff. And when he whips it this time, it ain't batter. Although I like a batter better. It ain't batter. So this time it's icing. And God makes that icing up. And he gets that icing out and starts putting it on the cake. Yeah. And then the life of a butterfly goes through four stages, four or five times. A monarch butterfly, when it's growing in its larva stage, when it's a caterpillar, it sheds its skin and gobbles it all up. It sheds it growing so fast, it sheds its skin and gobbles it all up. And it's just eating everything around it, you know, like a young Christian. But then it goes to that metamorphosis. And it stays in there 10 days. And when it comes out, I was in meeting, I feel like the Lord said, son, I want you to just go down to Sarata and just stay just about 10 days. And just sit in that cocoon and just let me transform you. When that thing comes out, it ain't a big old caterpillar. It's a big old monarch butterfly. And it don't gobble up silkweed and all that other stuff. It's living on sweet nectar. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you see an old person in their life as a Christian, and they go through some hard things and go through some hard times. And I'm going to tell you, when it's all said and done, friend, commit thy way unto the Lord, and he'll bring it to pass. God said, he who hath begun a good work in you, he'll finish it. Paul made a statement that's got me through a lot of storms. Paul said in the Scriptures, there where he's talking about committing your way unto the Lord, Paul said, he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And he who hath begun a good work, and Paul and Peter make statements like, well, I've committed unto him. I believe, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep against that day. And I'm going to tell you, one day, we're going to meet our reward. We're going to stand not just face to face with our reward, but the greatest of all, we're going to see him. We're going to bow at his feet, and we're going to look at him face to face. Darlene, I'm going to look Jesus right in the eye. And I'm going to see him. And I'm not looking forward to that day. I'm not looking forward to giving account. But I am so looking forward to standing before him and saying, Lord, I didn't know how I was going to come through. But I'm so glad I'm here now. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Amen. Y'all say, you're crazy, Brother Steve. Amen. But I was crazy before I was right with the Lord. And I tell you, it's good to serve the Lord and good to be saved. And if you have something in your heart or your life that you need to give to the Lord, you need God to do in your life, don't be weary in well doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you so much tonight. I don't know what to do right here, Lord. I just know your presence is so good and so great. Lord, it's been so good, Lord, to just you speak to my heart. I so long, God, for you just to speak to me and the preaching, Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm so glad, Father, Lord, that no matter, God, where we go or how things are, I'm glad, Lord, you said, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who shall ascend into the hill, Lord. And God, I'm glad that you allowed us, Father, Lord, just to come into your presence today. I'm persuaded, Lord, you said, without holiness, no man shall see God. And Lord, I thank you for sanctifying my life and helping me to live holy. God, helping me to walk through life. And Lord, just pray to you and talk to you. And you watching over my life and watching over our family. And God, it's so good, Lord, to just walk with you and read your word and pray together and serve you and live for you. So great. Oh, Lord, Lord, the devil don't have anything to compare with a victorious Christian life. Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray that you just help us, Lord, in these days. If there's one, Lord, here that needs to come to this altar, Lord, got a good morning bench down here at this church, Lord, altar. Lord, it needs to be soaked with tears. God, how we need to come back to you. Lord, Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And God, not just necessarily, Lord, all something that he had been saying or speaking wrong, but, oh God, contaminated, Father, Lord, by the people around him. He said, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And Lord, as your children, Lord, in this life, Lord, the things in this life, Lord, it seemed to get us down, and Lord, want to take us out, or Lord, get us discouraged. I'm glad that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God, I pray that you just bless as the folks, Lord, obey you tonight. And Lord, it is, God, follow you by faith, Lord. And if there's one here tonight needs to pray, and others need to come, he's praying, and others need to come down here and pray tonight. Be obedient to the Lord, and several's praying, amen, you're praying. If you just mind the Lord tonight and be obedient to the Lord. Maybe somebody want to give her life to God. Say, Lord, here am I. Take me. Lord, here am I. Use me, Lord. Somebody discouraged, I hope that you're encouraged tonight by His Word. Just find your place along with Him. Lord, He can do more for you in 5 seconds than you can do in 5 years. Lord, just want to thank you again for what you've done, how you've blessed, and thank you for this church, Lord. Pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. So continue to pray.